Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Seemed to come out much louder than I remember it. But anyways, we're here for the Thursday edition of Sports Time Radio. And as you know, these last few weeks, we've been starting a half hour early because, hey, Schomburg Stu is here to fill in for Dan the Man.
Right. Despite that loud introduction, I'm here.
Yeah, that was ridiculous. But anyways, if you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so you can swing on over there and check out the blog. If you happen to miss it yesterday, it's still right there at the top of the page for you. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, there's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, sadly, we still can't find Stu on Twitter, but I am out there at Burke Time if you want to help me down, and I will pass along any questions or comments you have for Stu if I need to. So there you go.
I'll skip on Twitter for now, but one of these days you're going to talk me into joining.
All right. Well, you know, you messaged me right before the podcast started, and you mentioned the weird trade that the Blackhawks made today. I actually saw this announced earlier. Now, they're bringing Marcus Kruger back, along with Mackenzie Entwistle, which is just a fantastic name, Jordan Mulata, Andrew Campbell, and they get a 2019 fifth-round draft pick. From Arizona. Now, to Arizona, they're sending a 2019 third-round pick, Jordan Osterley, I'm going to guess it's pronounced, Vinny Hinostroza, and Marian Hossa. So that's interesting.
And explain to me why Arizona would accept a player who was probably never going to play in the NHL again.
So, well, now I know they can put him on. I'm trying to remember what the title of it is. The article doesn't seem to have it here that I found, but they can actually put him on a special injured reserve, and it'll give them salary cap room.
Yeah, maybe that was the only reason they took that deal.
So, yeah, because he's actually still signed for three more seasons, and his average salary cap hit will be $2.75 million. So, yeah, I'm assuming maybe the Blackhawks are kicking in some money here to, kind of help out with that. That doesn't say in the deal here. On the plus side, this actually clears up a little salary cap room for the Blackhawks. I don't know if they'll do anything with it or how they're going to work it out, but at least they have some space now.
Yeah, and I'm sure you're excited because we're getting Marcus Kruger back again.
Yeah, I don't mind Marcus Kruger. You know, he's a solid, you know, what would you call him, a fourth-line guy.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, there's nothing nothing wrong with getting him back. We'll just gotta see how it works out. I don't know much about the other guys they're getting. I know they have Hinostroza's stats here. He actually had 7 goals and 18 assists in 50 games last year. So, I always thought he was a decent player, but you know, maybe he didn't fit with what they were doing. I don't know, or what they, what they're planning. So,
well, as it stands right now, I have serious doubts about whether or not the Blackhawks have improved themselves enough to even consider making it into the playoffs next season. In fact, I saw one report that said that they hurt themselves rather than help themselves, but I'm not as expert in the NHL as they are.
Yeah. Well, I did see they went out and picked up, a relatively decent what would be backup goalie, in Cam Ward, who used to be a starter. So, in case there's, because that seemed to be the downfall of the team last year. Once Corey Crawford was done, that was it for, the Blackhawks. They
right.
couldn't
and
figure
no
out a way.
Right, no chance after that, right. Well, I don't think that Cam Ward, though, is in the top echelon of NHL goalies by any stretch of the imagination.
What they need him for.
Well, they better hope that Crawford comes back.
He's a step up from what they had last year.
Goals allowed per game average is not all that great, but maybe he'll be a better backup than what they had, as you pointed out. But that shows how important it is for Crawford to come back healthy.
Yeah, that definitely ended up being a big deal here. Him going down. I'm looking here to see where the Blackhawks kind of drop in, and there's a new power ranking out, and I want to see where they happen to fall in the list. But yeah, it looks like they are way down. They're down at 21, so
not encouraging.
They don't have them very very well ranked. They're 21 out of 31. There's 31 NHL teams now. Yeah,
right.
Until they add the new one there.
One more, yeah.
So, yeah.
I'm surprised they even made it that high.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think they're that bad. Obviously they have quite a bit of talent. It'll just be interesting to see how it kind of plays out. I mean, they added Chris Kunitz, who's a really good veteran forward. I mentioned Cam Ward. I know they added a defenseman. I don't know much about Brandon Manning, but I know they needed some help on defense. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how guys kind of play out.
What's been disappointing has been the performance of Jonathan Toews over the last couple of seasons, because he's really gone way, way down in my estimation as a top NHL player. He's had a couple of bad seasons.
Yeah, he's definitely scuffled, and so is Brent Seabrook. He was supposed to be paired with Duncan Keith. They were going to be the tandem there that just kind of ruled. And Keith has went on. I know Keith had his struggles last year, had tough times scoring goals. But yeah, I don't know. And I know. Seabrook was signed way back in 2015 for, he got a $55 million extension then.
Yeah, got a good deal there.
Not to look like a good deal.
Yeah. Well, you don't look for Keith to score too much in the way of goals anyway, really. That's not his forte.
No, but, I think he had – did he get to five last year? I know it took him a long time to just notch his first goal.
Yeah, I don't even know if he made it to five last year. I would be surprised if he did.
So, yeah, that it'll be interesting. Let's see if I can find it real quick here while I'm looking. But, yeah, I think, obviously Patrick Kane is still one of the better players in the NHL. Oh, good Lord. Yeah, Keith had two goals last year. So, and he played every game. He played in all 82 games.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Kane obviously still a big plus. And, Toews, his offense has been down, but he's still a really good defensive forward. I just think we need him to score more.
Yeah, we need some more offense, that's for sure.
So, we'll have to see how that goes. But, yeah, God, the Blackhawks used six goalies last season, counting the emergency guy who was the hero of that one game.
That was a disaster last year when Crawford got hurt. And they're so cryptic, the NHL and the Blackhawks, about the extent of his injury. You just don't know. I mean, I wish I would. They never even disclosed what it was. Was it a concussion? Who knows? But it had to be pretty serious, obviously.
Yeah, that's just kind of, you know, kind of their way. You know, it's like, hey, here you go. This is what we're going to get.
I'm not 100% convinced he's going to come back, which would be a real disaster if that happened.
I haven't heard anything yet on him, so I'm, you know, kind of hoping for the best, you know, that he'll come rolling out. But you know, it won't be too long. You know, they'll be reporting pretty soon here to you know, the first skate or however you want to, you know, you want to look at it. So
time marches on. They get the All-Star baseball game next week, and the second half of the baseball season, and pretty soon there'll be some football exhibition games. So things are moving.
And then the AAFL or whatever the heck it's called will be starting to play. And well, so
that's important.
You know, we won't know what to do with ourselves then. We'll have so much football, it'll be out of control.
Yeah.
You know, and then we can watch the XFL again, and good Lord. So
I believe the XFL coming back when I see it now, because of this new league. Will even play as scheduled, the XFL this time.
Yeah, well, I did see that the ASS, as they're calling it, they're one of the guys who founded it, Bill Polian, is one of the guys who's running it there. He said players are going to get 3-year non-guaranteed contracts for $250,000. So that's what you're looking at to play there, to get your shot in the AF.
They will have no problems getting enough players, though, because it doesn't sound like a lot of money, but based upon the NFL standards, that's still for guys that are doing a regular job because they can't make it in the NFL. That's not bad change to get for playing football.
No, you know, and then it gives you a platform to, you know, perform for the NFL.
Right.
Because really what, you know, the NFL, I think, has always kind of needed is a minor league type of system.
Right, exactly.
Where, you know, because we've seen guys who take a while to develop, just like any sport. And, you know, I think that's all these leagues are really going to be. You know, I mean, I'm sure you'll get some guys who are hoping to hang on and go and play there, probably especially quarterbacks. But, yeah, other than that, it's just going to be a showcase for the young guys.
And you pointed out something very interesting, I thought, that when you think about it, there's development basketball leagues, right? There's minor league hockey, minor league baseball. What about minor league football?
Well, you know, they tried it. Remember, they set that European league up to be basically the NFL's minor league. And, yeah, it just didn't work.
Did not work at all.
So, you know, I guess the tough part with it is, you know, like all the other minor leagues play along during the season with, you know, your league. Could they do that with football? I mean, you know, especially at the injury rate. I mean, if you've got a guy doing real well on your minor league team, you know, there's just such a high injury risk. I don't know if it's worth things monetarily for them to even try to set something like that up.
Yeah, and the one thing is that there are so few games in the football compared to the other major sports that might make it more difficult.
You know, I mean, you know, maybe they could do, you know, if they were to set it up, I think it would have to be something that would start before the season, you know, so you could kind of look at the guys as they were coming in. But, you know, in a lot of ways, that's what this is going to serve as, you know, this AAFL, and if the XFL does get going, you know, they're going to play at different times. So it'll give the NFL plenty of time to sit back and just kind of look at these guys, you know, and just see if there's any interest.
Now here's a question for you, and I know your memory is and this is better than mine, when the XFL folded many years ago, did the NFL actually take any of their players? I'm trying to remember, and I cannot remember. Maybe you can.
You know, I believe, you know, there were probably some guys who got, you know, added on as, you know, special teamers,
right,
or backup.
Right, exactly.
Or, you know, stuff
handful,
like
maybe.
That.
Maybe a handful at best, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody, you know, really jumped up and, you know, made any kind of splash or, you know, anything like that. So, but yeah, you know, off the top of my head, I'm trying to remember the Chicago team had a running back, and I'm drawing a blank on his name. He was a smaller guy compared to NFL standards, and he was a,
right,
you know, third down change of pace type of guy in the NFL. And I'm thinking he may have went back, and I believe that that Rod Smart, who had the He Hate Me nickname, actually spent
him,
some time with the Eagles. Yeah, I think he spent some time with the Eagles as a backup and a special teamer.
Yeah, I remember.
So,
When Jerry Lawler, who was doing the color commentary in the games, imagine how that wasn't even grammatically correct, his catchphrase.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was, you know, definitely interesting. Yeah, you know, I watched the first few weeks of it, you know, but it's always tough when, you know, it's football, but it's not football, so... You know, it's hard to kind of, you know, get into it, especially when it's not football season. You know, you're asked to watch,
right,
this stuff, you know, outside of what you consider to be football season.
Now, remember when the AFL competed, though? The AFL did compete on fairly favorable terms with the NFL before they had the merger, 50 years ago or so, I suppose it was, roughly.
Well, that...
And they did That was different. That was a different
God,
time.
I don't remember what they were called, but, you know, that league that Trump basically ruined because he wanted to move their schedule to go head-to-head with the NFL, were they like the World Football League or something like that?
Yeah, it could have been. It could have been, right.
You know,
yeah,
they
the World
did
Football
really
League.
Well. All their owners were loaded. So they were able to go out and pay these players. So, you know, like, they were able to compete a little bit. But, you know, yeah, other than that, you know, and that's going to be the key to all this. You know, if the teams have money, they'll be able to compete. That, you know, that's going to be the big thing. If they don't have money to sign guys or anything like that, you know, then, you know, forget it. It's over.
Right. It's really interesting, though, to see if the fans will accept the product.
Yeah, you know, and I don't, you know, I know they announced where their teams are going to be. At least I believe the you know, AAF has announced where all their teams are going to be. I don't know if the XFL has yet. But, yeah, I don't know if they're, you know, are they going to try to hit? And I finally found this guy's name. It was John Avery was the running back I was talking about. It took
okay.
me long enough. But, I'm just wondering, you know, if or where they'll go or they're going to set up. Let me see if I can actually, I'll use Dan's favorite website here and see if
I
can.
I don't think there were any major cities, though, involved. Were there in the list of cities that are going to play?
Yeah, well, let's see if I can. I'm binging it here, so let's see if I can figure it out here. So, of course, when you just bing, you know, AAF, it's difficult to get
right.
gotta go. We'll go a little deeper here with this and see what they have going on. All right, let's try. Let's see what they got going. Oh, no, did you know there used to be an All-American Football League from 2007 to 2010?
No.
I vaguely kind of remember that. I think Mark Cuban was involved with that. And they were going to try to get something going, but I guess it just never kicked off. So, all right. Well, what the heck is the... What the heck is the best way to find this damn league now? Because there's just too many of them.
Bing is no longer Dan's favorite search engine.
Yeah, it's starting to look that way. I didn't realize there were so many different football leagues that tried to get founded here. That. You know, like the All-American Football Conference. So,
there were some football that they attempted to go against the NFL in the 40s and 50s.
I think that's when that kind of started there. So,
I think there was a team called the Chicago Hornets, if memory serves right. I think they won one game one season.
I'm trying to come up with other ways to think of the name of this, and I don't know what the heck.
Put down new football league. Try that.
Oh, that's because it's the Alliance of American Football, and I'm not I'm not not using the correct name there because the obviously. Would be a different name. So we'll have to see if I have better luck if I use the proper name here and see what I get.
Yeah, don't punch in NWA. You'll get the wrong sport.
Yeah, that's an odd name, Alliance of American Football. But okay. All right, let's go to the they have an official website. It's actually AAF.com if you're interested in looking at that here. And let's see, do they have a Alliance Cities? All right, this is what they have. Atlanta, Birmingham, Memphis, Orlando, Phoenix, Salt Lake, San Antonio, and San Diego.
Well, there's some major cities there.
So yeah, with the exception of Atlanta, none of them have an NFL franchise.
That's right. San Diego doesn't anymore.
No. So, but yeah, that's where they're getting going. It looks like
how many teams then? How many teams do they have that you mentioned that will form eight?
Yeah. So,
what are they split into two divisions? I would imagine.
Yeah, I'm looking to see. They don't have a ton on here, except they want you to sign up for all their online stuff, and they're very interested in selling you tickets.
Of course.
So,
how many games scheduled do they have? At least did they say that much.
They actually don't have the schedule listed here. Let's see if it will come up here. Is this the schedule? No, they have a if you're interested, they have four scouting combines.
Yeah.
August 4th, 18th, and then the 25th and 26th. You can register to attempt to be a player. But, yeah, it doesn't look like they have an actual schedule released yet. But it does say on the site that they are starting February, was it 9th or something like that? So.
Well, perhaps I can sign up to be another Tarik Cohn.
Yeah.
Only about 145, right?
we'll have to see how that works out. Like, we can register as media, and maybe we could cover it.
Yeah.
Of course, it's, you know, the first one's in Los Angeles, the second one is in Houston, and the third one is, the last two are in Atlanta. So.
Well, warmer weather cities.
So the odd part, though, is once you get on the this actual web page, you can't get back. It doesn't allow you to go back to their main page. So you know, I guess we'll just have to retype the website in and see what goes on here. But yeah, other than that, it doesn't look like there's an actual schedule. Yeah, the first game is Saturday, February 9th. They do have television. You know, they're aligned with CBS. They're going to be on the CBS Sports Network. And, you know, all their coaches have name value. They have their eight head coaches, Brad Childress, Tim Lewis, Mike Singletary, Steve Spurrier, Rick Neuheisel, Dennis Erickson, Mike Riley, and Mike Martz are your eight head coaches. That.
There's some well-known choices and well-known head coaches, at least, which might help in terms of name value, give it some credibility.
So yeah, they you know, they're obviously, you know, a little ahead of, you know, if you're not going to get player names, you got to kind of line up. And then yeah, the it's Charlie Ebersol and Bill Polian founded it. Ebersol's father was a Dick Ebersol, who was a longtime NBC guy.
Yes.
You know, even like the executive names are really recognizable. They have Troy Polamalu as head of player relations. J.K. McKay is head of football operations. Hines Ward is a player relations executive. So is Jared Allen. The only guy here I think that I don't know from being in the NFL or associated with is Tom, I'm going to guess this is Veit, V-E-I-T. He's head of business operations. So.
Wasn't Ebersol's father involved with the XFL?
He was involved with McMahon. And
right.
He is part of, they list him as, and Keith Robus as the board of directors. And then I don't know what this means, but Player Engagement Board of Advisory, Justin Tuck is on that. So they added a lot of name value, you know, with what they decided to do. So we'll have to see if, you know, if it pays off.
Yeah.
You know, we'll
see.
Run.
Interesting to see what kind of ratings they get initially.
Yeah.
When they start running in February.
So, yeah, and, you know, I don't know if or how. It does look like tickets across the board are $50 if you're interested in them. So, of course, we don't actually have a team anywhere close to us.
No.
So.
No.
But, yeah, we'll have to, we'll have to see. And then I know they announced, you know, Michael Vick is going to be associated with the Atlanta team. I think he might be the offensive coordinator or something like that. So,
well, it looks like they're going to name recognition in some of these hirings, which might help them a little bit.
Yeah, which is probably a good deal for them. But yeah, you know, looking here, while they're going with eight teams, it looks like the XFL, which is supposed to start in 2020. Is going to go with 10 teams. I don't believe they've named all their cities yet. I think they're still in the process of, you know, possibly trying to find some locations. So, you know, maybe it'll end up being eight, depending on how it goes. And, yeah, actually on their Wikipedia page, it says that they are going to go with eight teams, but another article says 10. So.
Damn. Are they going to run similar times, or are they going to run in a different period of time during the year when they start?
Yeah, they I don't think they've announced that yet. Let's see if they, you know, since it's so far off, I don't think they've really kind of said, you know, when they're going to play. You know, I know they, you know, they made the big deal about bringing in a commissioner already. You know, they signed Oliver Luck, who a lot of people may know as Andrew Luck's father, but actually played in the NFL himself. So,
yeah, right, right.
You know, he's definitely, you know, so they were, you know, smart enough to pick up some name value there. But, yeah, other than that, I mean, even like their website doesn't have a ton of information on it yet. It's mostly stuff about Oliver Luck joining. So we'll have to, you know, we'll have to see if or how it kind of picks up. But, you know, in true WWE form, though, you can buy gear. They're selling XFL
already.
Gear already.
Already.
Oh, yeah. You know, you could be all set there.
Now, there could be a saturation, a problem of saturation, though. If this new league that starts in February next year is successful, will they try to run against them? The XFL is same in the same time frame? It'll be very interesting.
You know, I guess it kind of runs down to the point of, you know, what do your options become? You know, you can't go head-to-head with the NFL. You know, that's proven to be death. I mean, that's just going to wipe you out.
Right. Exactly.
I guess if you set it up right, you could go after them because, you know, that's where the United States Football League was successful was with spring football.
Yes.
You got to. I mean, I know this. You know this. This alliance. You know, of American football. They look to be in warmer weather cities, but you know they're playing like here. They're going to be playing in winter still. You know, February is still winter where you and I are. So, you know, I don't know. Depending on your location, maybe
right.
You try to recreate some of that USFL deal and. You know, see if you can get people to come out and watch it because, you know, they played exciting football and that's what, you know, that's what got people interested in it.
Exactly. And it'll be interesting, though, to see what happens, how it plays out in terms of the, will they get an audience for this? Will they get a ratings for this? And you mentioned, of course, that CBS will be covering the new league starting next year. How about the XFL? Have they determined who's going to be carrying them or is that too soon?
Nothing's been announced. You know, I mean, I think if I heard correctly, and this may have something to do with the fact that one of their wrestling shows is moving to that network, but I believe Fox had expressed some interest on running the games on, you know, FS1.
All right. Yeah.
But I don't think it's going to be a factor, you know, anything.
Right.
But, you know, we'll have to see how that works out.
If the XFL wants to be truly successful, I think they should hire Jesse Ventura as the commissioner.
Yeah. I actually think he learned his lesson the last time because, you know, last time basically he tried to – He tried to make it wrestling football is what he tried to do.
Right. Didn't work.
And, you know, kind of realized that if he's going to do it, he's got to do it like an actual football league if it's something he really wants to do. So.
Right. And I think this time they mentioned that they will not be hiring Jerry Lawler or Jim Ross as color or football announcers this time.
Yeah, well, you know, the sad part with as much as Ross knows about college football, he actually probably be pretty good with a little work, but yeah.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to go that route this time, though.
So, but yeah, you know, and obviously there's, you know, a lot of news still to come out on that considering, you know, it's, you know, a year and a half away before, you know, they're actually going to do anything. So, well, you know, we'll have to see.
It'll be interesting.
But, yeah. I do not think the NFL is in any serious trouble. So.
No. Well, don't forget their ratings, though, did dip last season by about, 10% or so?
Yeah, but, you know, that, you know, that always happens. And again, you know, anytime somebody brings that up, you have to remember that, you know, that doesn't count streaming or watching it in any of the various ways you can watch television nowadays. So, you know, that just counts the people who are sitting down in front of their televisions watching it through, you know, dish or cable or whatever service you use to get actual that doesn't count any of the, you know, the streaming services that apply in today's market. So
yeah, there's so many ways to obtain these games now that it's difficult for any kind of a rating service to get something accurate. Like NeoGaf used to have attached something on a TV set years ago, but I don't know, you know, if they do that anymore.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, that's the thing they like to do. You know, the first thing they're always going to do is jump and go, oh, well, look, their ratings are down. Well, you know, they're down for a lot of things. It doesn't mean people aren't watching it. You know, it's just there's so many, you know, so many different ways. I mean, you know, I can sit down with my tablet and watch an out-of-market baseball game. Well, my ratings don't count, but I watch this game.
Right.
So, you know, that's just kind of, you know, kind of how it goes. And, you know,
personally,
it's like, well,
myself, in my opinion, I don't think that the sport has diminished in terms of the fans. I think the interest is still there.
Yeah, you know, I know they are losing some attendance. You know, actual in-game attendance, some teams are having trouble, and a lot of it has to do with the fact that, you know, the viewing experience is so good at home that, you know, why pay an outrageous price, you know, in some areas sit in freezing weather to watch a game where you can sit in the comfort of your own home, not pay $10 for a beer, and, you know, you're all set and you get a great viewing experience. I know Jacksonville had some of that problem. They had trouble getting fans to come to the games, even though they, you know, they went to the AFC Championship last year, but they had attendance issues. So, you know,
what about the rule? Remember years ago when they used to black out the home games if there wasn't a sellout? Does that still hold now?
Yeah, you know, that actually is still a rule, but, you know, normally, you know, somebody steps in, buys up the tickets, or
right. If there's only a few tickets left, right, they're going to buy them a couple thousand seats. But I mean, if it's like Jacksonville and a lot more they need before they get a full house, I don't think you're going to have someone come in and buy 15,000 to 20,000 seats if it's not a sellout. So.
No, there one thing. I don't know if it was a year or two ago, but one of the Florida teams, I don't know if it was Jacksonville or Tampa Bay, actually did get blacked out. You know, in their local market because they didn't sell out. So, you know, it has happened recently. I think it was just a year or two ago. But, yeah, you know, it doesn't happen too often now.
Yeah, it hasn't happened with the Bears in a long, long time.
So, yeah, and, I'm sure football used to be a thing for, you know, just about everybody. You know,
right.
You're kind of like, okay.
Yeah, before cable, I don't know if you remember this or not. Do you remember when the Bears games were blacked out and you would go to bars or have a special antenna on your roof so you could pull in the game from South Bend or from Milwaukee? Usually South Bend, I think, was a channel that a lot of people would try to get the blacked out Bears games.
Yeah. But, yeah, luckily, you know, we don't. We don't suffer through that anymore. They do pretty well here.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
You know, we'll. You know, hopefully that keeps up. But of course, even you know when the team has been bad, the fans have still come out to support it. So
did you see, by the way, where the Bears are opening on the road this year? National TV, game one against the Packers.
Oh no, I didn't even.
Yeah,
didn't even bother
I think
to look.
I read that. Yeah, I think their first game is on national TV, a night game against the Packers. I forgot what night it is, though. Of course, you know, our quarterback is so much superior than Green Bay's quarterback that the outcome of the game should be a foregone conclusion.
Yeah, should not be a problem at all for the Bears to go and pick up a big win. So...
I'm a little more optimistic for next season, by the way, because I have a feeling this new coach might finally be the answer to the Bears' troubles, but I shouldn't, I suppose, be that optimistic. What's your take on that, by the way, as long as you have an opportune moment? I always appreciate your expertise in the matter.
Yeah, you know, I do fully expect them to improve. You know, I really think they have a really good chance to be a 500 team. I don't think they're a playoff team yet. And, you know, they are in what actually is kind of a tough, you know, division. You know, as long as Aaron Rodgers is healthy, Green Bay is good. Man, you know, the Vikings looked really good last year. And Detroit is always kind of, you know, they always seem to be right there on the brink of, you know, are they going to be a playoff team or not? So it's definitely a tough division. But, I think they're going to be a 500 team next year.
Well, that, based upon what they've done in the previous years, would be a marked improvement at least.
Yeah. So, you know, we'll see. And, you know, of course, there's a, you know, a long way to go. You got to see if there's, you know, injuries or anything like that that happen along the way. But, you know, now I did want to ask you about this. I don't know if you've heard about this or you've seen anything on it. Have you seen this documentary that I believe is, it's actually supposed to be released today, that's called 350 Days?
No, what is that?
It apparently is a retrospective with some old-time wrestlers, and the reason they picked the title, because, you know, that's how many days guys used to spend on the road. But, you know, apparently it's Bret Hart, Wendy Richter, Ted DiBiase, and Billy Graham are the names listed in the article that appear. Let's see. They also have, they mentioned now deceased, they spoke with George the Animal Steel and Ox Baker.
Yes,
so,
they're both gone, yeah. Well, that sound, is that going to be on TV? Is that going to be an ESPN special, or is that something?
No, it actually starts in theaters today at 7 p.m., but I believe it is just a West Coast event is what I thought I saw. It's just opening in that area, so you might have to send Rich to see it, because I think it was opening in L.A., and then he could tell what it was like.
Well,
so,
Russ will have to do my magic and try to download it if it becomes available.
Yeah, they list a couple theaters it's showing at, but I don't know where Elmwood Palace 20 or Regal Covington Stadium 14 is.
No,
so.
All right. Covington is in California, I think, right? I think so.
That's what I so. But yeah, they don't have, there is a, you know, oh, for more information here, Phantom Events. Let me hit the link to the website and see if it'll give me a little more information about what, where it's playing and what's going on. So let's see, they do have, if you go to, what is it? It's phantomevents.com. They have a trailer that you can look at, and I will enter my zip code here and see if there is anything playing in my area.
Coming to a theater near you.
So, let's see. It is playing in Lincolnshire, Crystal Lake, and Chicago tonight at 7 o'clock. So.
Somehow I don't see it doing big business, though.
Yeah, the runtime is 2 hours and 5 minutes long.
Surprisingly long. Usually those are only about an hour and a half. That's a long documentary.
Yeah, and the website here has a little more info. It looks like J.J. Dillon, Greg Valentine, Tito Santana, and Joel Gertner are also guys who will appear in the documentary.
Now, you know, it's funny that you're mentioning these various names, and I would not consider one of those names as part of the old school of professional wrestling myself.
Yeah. Well,
of course, you know who I would consider. I'd watch a two-hour documentary if they had Luthes and Vern Gagne, Pat O'Connor, Hans Schmidt and Killer Kowalski, but sadly I don't think the fans today would appreciate those that kind of a documentary. Carpentier.
Yeah. I mean, I would be very interested to know what, like, Ox Baker and George Steele had to say. So.
Yeah, Doug.
You know, but yeah.
Doug Baker was an interesting, he cut some interesting promos in his time. You remember what his catchphrase was, right? You remember Ox Baker's famous catchphrase?
Did he?
I love to hurt people.
Yeah, I know a couple guys played with him in a golf tournament here locally. I don't know, it's probably 5-6 years back now. And I just talked about what a nice guy he was. So
he's supposed to be a very nice
guy. Yeah, you know, he was the big hanging around the territory when I was starting off wrestling.
And he was a decent actor, too. He was in a movie, I believe it was called Escape from New York, starring Kurt Russell. And he had a fairly big part in the movie and did pretty well as an actor.
Well, you know, he had kind of that, you know, that specific look where you could see him being,
right.
a thug, you know, type of guy. No.
Well, when you think about actors, of course, you got the number one or two box office attractions in the world started out as a pro wrestler, so he's certainly made a nice career move for himself.
Yeah, you know, a lot of, you know, I know they were trying to remember what I saw. There was some people complaining that there's another big time guy I was reading online that they think wants to try to make that move, and it's just kind of like, well, can you blame him? I mean, you know,
no.
I mean,
the money is obscene.
The money.
Yeah, the money is obscene. I always thought Roddy Piper would have done well, and he was a pretty good actor. And I always mentioned They Live, for example, and he didn't. Most of the time, he was in B movies, though, not like the A movies that Dwayne Johnson is in.
So yeah, you know, trying to remember, you know, who else has kind of crossed over. I know, you know, the other recent guy, you know, Cena has had his shot here and there.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, in some WWE made movies. You know, I know I don't know if they're still making them, but they use a lot of guys in theirs. So,
well, as long as we're talking wrestling, I have to ask your opinion about something. We're talking about Dwayne Johnson, right? Just for a moment, I heard a podcast the other day with Jerry Jarrett, who, of course, as you probably know, was a big time promoter for 30, 40 years in Memphis. Very successful. I think Johnson may have gotten a start there. And he said, in his opinion, and this is where I couldn't believe when he said this, because I respect the guy's knowledge. He said, Dwayne Johnson, one of the greatest wrestlers of all time. And he was very serious when he said that. And I said to myself, how can he make a statement that way? How could he possibly make that kind of a statement? Because I thought he was a very limited wrestler and didn't have much in the way of actual true wrestling ability. So that shocked me when he said that.
You know, maybe great athlete. I don't know if I would call him a great wrestler.
Right,
you know.
Exactly.
Of course, you know, then again, you know, he was kind of in that shtick where, you know, they just sent you out there to do the things fans were going to pop for, and he never really got a chance to wrestle, so maybe he was better than we thought and just never got to showcase it.
Yeah, because I was totally flabbergasted when Jerry Jarrett made that remark, because he goes back a long time and gone through a lot of wrestlers. Very successful promoter in Memphis, as you probably know, and a very shrewd man and very interesting to listen to.
You know how come he was very successful? Because he was incredibly cheap with when it come to paying the boys.
Was that right? Was he considered cheap
when he heard
that story?
Guys complained about him constantly. with his paydays. He was just, you know, there guys would drive, you know, like you could drive there from Illinois to work for him and you'd barely get gas money. So
no wonder he was a successful promoter, right?
Yeah, you know, that was one of the things I saw. Steve, I don't know where Steve Austin was talking about it, but when he worked for Jarrett, he was making enough to basically pay his rent, and he was surviving by buying 10-pound bags of potatoes on sale and using them as his diet, and then whatever else he could pick up here and there because he just wasn't making any money. But he was in the territory full-time, and he was one of the top guys. But that,
and even then, he wasn't making much.
Yeah.
Yeah, you wonder about how well he paid, for example, Jerry Lawler and Bill Dundee, the two mainstays, and Yamamoto, Toji Yamamoto. Maybe he paid those guys a little bit more when they started to sell out the Coliseum, see him every Monday night.
Yeah, you have to think Lawler at least did okay. You know, or the guys who stayed, you know, if you're staying in a territory, you're doing okay there. So, you know, I'm sure Lawler and Dundee and the guys who hung around did really well. But, yeah, you know, those guys who just kind of flew through or stopped in, it was rough on some of them. I know guys who went down there towards the dying days of the promotion, because they thought, you know, they were going to get on TV and he was going to help them out. And they got the hot dog and the handshake payday, where he literally shakes your hand and you get a hot dog. So yeah. Imagine the drive from Chicago.
Yeah, a round trip from Chicago to Memphis for that, right?
Yep. So, but, you know, that's what wrestlers do if they think they're going to, you know, have a shot. I mean, ECW used to fleece guys into going out and flyering for them for free by promising them tryouts, and then they would bring them in and let them wrestle in front of the guys and never hire any of them.
Yeah.
But, you know, they used to get guys to do ring crew and flyer, and Ring of Honor does it too. You know, guys flyer and put up the ring for them, and they get what they think is a tryout match, but none of them ever get jobs.
No, no. In the 50s, the wrestlers were paid notoriously low amounts for being on national TV because they were on national TV. I remember seeing the tax return of, for example, Cowboy Bob Ellis. You remember him? He did a lot of work for the Bruiser in Indianapolis, and he was supposed to make a lot of money. And I happened to see what he got paid for some of his TV appearances, $25, $50 for a TV appearance. That's what they pay the guys, because they were on TV, and then they would be able to get some money on the road the rest of the week because of the exposure.
Yeah. When I started, and this was 1986, not throwing names out there or anything, but the company I worked for had a TV show on, I think it was still Sports Vision at the time. When you worked a TV taping, and normally when you worked a TV taping, you worked two and sometimes three times, you didn't get a payday because you got television exposure, and that's what you were trading it off for.
Well, you got nothing. Zero.
Nothing. Yep. So you got TV exposure is what they pushed it as. That's how, you know, they sold it to you. You know, now, of course, the guys they brought in, you know, I mean, I worked with guys like, you know, Ken Patera, Tito Santana, all those kind of guys. They got paydays. You know, but the guys, you know, putting up the ring and taking down the ring and, you know, doing the jobs or whatever needed to be done got squat. They got TV exposure.
And, of course, one time you were one of those guys, correct?
Oh, yeah. So for a long time, I was one of those.
When you got the exposure, did it pay off for you? Did you be able to wrestle three, four times a week? It didn't pay off anyway.
No. Not one person remembers me for doing jobs on that TV show. I got more bookings after I started training because guys would see my guys wrestle and want to know where they learned that from. So.
Interesting. Very interesting.
But, yeah, it's, you know, it's a hustle. A lot of times you've got to, you've got to go to a show early, show up, and try to convince a promoter to put you on. Some guys won't even talk to you. They'll just throw you out of your building, or they used to. I don't know how it is now. But there are guys, you know, and sometimes you got to give them a deal. Hey, you know, give me gas money. I'll show you what I can do tonight. I'll do a job for whoever you got to put me in with. And hopefully somebody likes you and they bring you back. But, you know, that was when you could literally almost wrestle any day of the week. There was almost a show every day of the week somewhere. You know, like if you were lucky, you know, there were times I could wrestle Thursday, Friday, a couple times on Saturday, a couple times on Sunday, and then come back to go to work on Monday because I was working with my buddy who had his own company and allowed me to do that. You know, his own construction company. I was just a schmuck laborer for him. But now, you know, you can't do those kind of things. There just aren't enough shows out there to where you can, you know, you can hustle and make your way. I mean, you're lucky if you're working twice a weekend. You know, that's a miracle booking nowadays.
Does any company now run other than Friday, Saturday, or Sunday an independent company? Probably not anymore.
You know, there are still a couple, you know, that pop up. I know locally one of the feds here just did a Monday show. I don't know how that went against Raw, but I think it was a sold show, so I don't think it matters. But, yeah, there was a guy in, God, was it Tennessee or West Virginia. My buddy worked for him. He's got his own building. You know, it's a warehouse-style building. It seats about 300 people. They've ran every Thursday night now for probably about the last 10 years. It's to the point now where he doesn't even have to advertise it. People just know the show is going on and they show up. He draws a couple hundred people every Thursday night for a show.
And so, yes, he makes a profit. He makes a profit.
Yeah, oh, yeah. When you own the building, it's a whole different story. So.
Yeah, I'm sure he doesn't pay the wrestlers all that much.
No, I'm sure he uses mostly his students and, you know, maybe brings in a guy here and there every now and then, just to kind of get a little extra pop of the crowd. But, yeah, you know, it works out really well for him. You know, and I can't blame him. You know, I mean, if I had my own building, I'd be every week too.
Right. That's interesting that they still are a few organizations around the country that can still manage to do something like that. But, of course, not many anymore, for sure.
Yeah. Well, you know, and the key, I mean, you know, it's like everything else. It boils down to money. I mean, if you've got your own building and your own ring, you're in a much better situation than, like, you know, somebody trying to put on a show. Well, you know, I got to rent a ring and I've got to find a building and then I've got to rent the building. That can be a bit of a headache to deal with.
So, I'm sure it's not cheap to rent a building, too.
No, yeah, depending on, you know, which building you want or, you know, where it is. You know, because obviously the cheapest buildings are going to be in the worst locations, so it's going to be difficult to draw.
Yeah.
So, you know, because obviously, you know, you've got to have a building everybody. You know, if you're running out in the middle of nowhere and nobody can find a building, nobody's going to go to your show.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just, you know, one of those situations. So, yeah, there's a whole lot that goes into it. I mean, just unbelievably goes into it that people wouldn't even realize. You know, that's why so many of these startup feds just fall flat because they don't understand it.
Interesting. Very interesting observation. When you started, we may have time to finish this, but when you started, well, I guess we're not going to be able to finish it.
Podcast is available for you anytime you want to go listen to at TuneIn.com.